V'yizkor Elokim et Noach ve'et kol ha'chaya ve'et kol ha'behima asher ito b'teva v'yaver Elokim ruach al ha'aretz v'yashoku ha'mayim. And God remembered Noach, and remembered the animals, and so on, and all that were with him. And God caused this wind to come and caused the water, what does v'yashoku mean? To begin to recede. So there is, first of all, something very strange about this pasuk. Did you notice what's strange about it? It's strange is the hint is easy. Look what's bold there. It's the use of the word Elohim in this context. Because generally, what does Elohim mean? Generally, the name of God, Elohim, means judgment. God is judge. God's sitting in judgment. So we perhaps would have expected that God decides to wipe out the world, or wipe out humanity, or a lot of humanity. And then God feels a little bad about it, which, by the way, makes God a little bit fickle. And then you would expect the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, which would indicate God's Midat HaRachamim, God's compassion. But instead, when it says V'yizkor Elokim, so what does Elokim mean then? Judgment. So why would judgment be used in this context? Because if all the evil has been flushed away, then based upon judgment at this point, the water can now recede as well. Correct? So that would seem to be the meaning. That's the starting point of this chapter. We skip till Pasuk Vav. V'yihi miketz arba'im yom, v'yiftach Noach et hachalon hateva asher asah. 40 days go by. And by the way, there's a lot to talk about in terms of all the dates and the time frames in this. We're not going to talk about it. I had sources. I erased them all about that. Maybe next year we'll talk about the dates. When this was, is a basic machloket, which time of year we're talking about. At the end of 40 days, Noach opens the window. V'yishlach et ha'orev, v'yetze yotzo v'shov ad yoveshet yivoshet hamayim me'al ha'aretz. And he sends the raven. It goes to and fro, and it returns, going from back and forth on the water, on the land. Pasuchet says, V'yishlach et ha'yonah, and then he sends the yonah. Now, can anybody here tell me why he sends the raven, and what happened over here at the raven? Which means we have a couple of questions, and we can go from one level to the next. First of all, motivation. Why send it? Secondly, why a raven? Thirdly, where did he get permission to send the raven? Was he told to send the raven? He's doing this on his own accord. Why is he doing this? Finally, what went wrong with the raven that he then has to turn around and send the Yonah? If this is a fair way of putting out the question. Now, before I continue, the raven can definitely stand to hire a PR firm, because the raven gets very bad PR. And as those of you who remember Edgar Allan Poe can appreciate how bad a raven is made to look. Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil. I mean, that's a not a very good image that we get. It's like this demonic force. And let's also not be so naive. One of the reasons that it has this reputation is because of its... It's also because of its color. We'll come to that. It's also because of its color. So, and by the way, we have no problem at all accusing Edgar Allan Poe of racism. And by the way, I don't have any problem accusing Noach of racism. That doesn't bother me. What would bother me much more is if God or the Torah or Chazal were guilty of racism. That would be a little bit... I mean, just to judge things based upon color of skin would obviously be something more disturbing. But keep in mind that this is a subtext that we will need to come back to. when he continues to send the Yonah, and by the way, what color is a Yonah? Okay. When he continues, so by the way, this is great. Here you have black and white, good and evil, right? When he continues to send the Yonah, v'yishlach et ha-Yonah me'ito, l'ro'ot hakalu ha-mayim me'al pnei ha-adamah. So why does he send the Yonah? Or even before I ask that question, did you notice any differences between the sending of the Orev versus the sending of the Yonah? Or were they exactly the same, those two verses? What? It does, right, it doesn't say. You notice that there are actually two differences. Me'ito is different. When it came to the Yonah, he sent the Yonah out, Me'ito. What does Me'ito indicate? It sounds more like it's pet. It's something which is his. There's a closer relationship. And it says that he sends it out for a purpose. Which leads me back to the first verse. Why send the Orev?
Predator bird, and so we thought if it finds something sticking out from the earth, he'll pick it up and eat it and bring it back to you.
Okay, so
the Yonah wouldn't do that.
Okay, so you're pointing out what the Chizkuni pointed out in source number 3, and I heard you say it as well. The Chizkuni writes in source 3, Vayishlach et ha-orev lefi shedarko le'echol nevelot. It's a predator. It will eat dead bodies. But by the way, does that help explain why I send it out?
Yeah,
you expect there to be 10 dead bodies there?
Yeah. If the water has receded enough so there's something
sticking out.
How much you'd have to... I mean, they wouldn't be floating? I don't know. I'm asking.
I don't know,
but...
Would raven eat a floating corpse? I don't think so. Would eat something that's resting.
It has to be resting. Lefisha darkol echol nevelot ve'im kalu hamayim yimtza meitei mabul mushlachim al pnei svat hamayim. So he says that if the water has abated sufficiently, you will find the corpses floating there on the water, and then the raven will come back, presumably in its mouth, with pieces of corpse. Now this is a wonderful... Excuse, are you telling me that later on in the day this would be good for you? Don't tell me you're vegetarian.
Fact of life.
Yeah. Okay. By the way, that's a very interesting understanding, but if that's the case, so... If that's the case, and when he sends out the raven the first time, and by the way, this may very well be pshat. This may well be the pshat. The bird is a predator. It eats flesh. He sends it out to see if there's flesh floating about, and the raven comes back. But when it comes back, why doesn't he send it again? Now, the other problem is the distinction between the first verse and the second verse. Because the second verse says, "Vayishlach ha-Yonah me'ito," which shows a greater sense of affinity, and it also adds, "L'ro'ot hakalu ha-mayim me'al pnei ha-adamah." So, shouldn't that have already been? Unless you want to say that he got his basic information ready from the raven, and now this continues, which means, did the raven succeed in its task or did it fail on its task? We still don't exactly really know what its task is, and we don't know why it was sent. And on top of all that, we don't even know. Did Noah really have permission to be doing this? Why is he sending it? I mean, God said, get on the boat. Why is he getting off the boat? Why is he sending anything off the boat? There is a time lapse. Correct. So why not send the raven again? And still, why the difference in the way that it's phrased between the first and the second? Which means the Chizkuni's explanation is very good. It's very vivid, too vivid for some people. But it doesn't explain the problems in the text.
The Medrash notwithstanding, I just noticed it now, so I don't know if there's anything on it. Who says the Orev came back?
Torah.
It says he went back and forth. It doesn't say he came back.
It sounds like it doesn't even go, yeah.
That's the Maya.
No,
it doesn't say that he came back.
But yet say it's Tov HaShov.
I just Tov HaShov modified the raven.
Right. It doesn't go away, really. It stays in the area of the boat. It won't really go. But it's save the show.
Well, that's the medrash.
No, that's what it says.
No, I mean, that's what...
Okay, but you... Yes?
Is it possible that they're all trying to see what kind of world is waiting for them out there, whether it's the doomsday, or whether it's a new beginning?
Certainly possible. It's certainly possible, but what does he expect? I mean, expectations over here, I think, are... What does he expect? What's he going to find when he gets off? He's going to find total utter destruction, correct?
Maybe not. Because the raven didn't see any corn.
You know, there is a nice medrash that he's going to that even the olive branch that he brought came all the way from the Garden of Eden. Okay, that's a wonderful image that the Garden of Eden now is still about. Right, right. See, all that we understand, all that we understand, and there's a stark difference. I'm just pointing out that the wonderful explanation that we all have in our heads doesn't necessarily fit into what the words are saying. Correct? You know, the Emek Davar, the Netziv, is bothered by a question that we'll see as we continue, but I want you to see his answer before we see the question that he's bothered by, because he doesn't spell it out. He says, "Yesh lehitbonen lama shalach shnei afot halalu dafka ori v'yona," which you just now try to answer. Why these two birds? You already told us why these two birds. Because one deals with dead bodies, other deals with foliage. I want to know if there are bodies floating around. I want to know if their trees are blooming again. But the Netziv says, "V'halo yesh harbei ofot shaprochim tov yoter mehem." You have birds that fly better. You have birds that are more efficient than these two. Vahatu, and furthermore, me'ayin ha'yirishut le'noach lehotziyem min ha'teva lefnei hazman. How did he have permission to let them out? If God, what did God say? Get on the boat. Did God say get off the boat? How can he let them or send them on a mission before he had permission? Correct? I mean, this is a little problematic. Of course, the Netziv's answer doesn't answer his question. He just shifts it to a different problem. So what does he say? So he's insisting, I'm going to tell you now what is pshat. These were not the ones that God told him to bring on in order to save the species. Rather, Noah had some pets. He had a pet raven, and he had a pet Yonah. And these were his pets, and therefore he could send his pets wherever he wanted. But by the way, do you see the problem with this? And who gave him permission to take those pets on the boat? Which means he solved one problem. Who gave permission to send them by creating the other problem? Who gave permission to bring them in the first place? But he says, no, zeh lefi hapshat. But there is something which is definitely bothering him, which he does not articulate. Yes?
If there were extra birds, though.
How do you know?
When I read it yesterday.
Yesterday there were. Correct,
yesterday
correct. Correct.
Right.
Which means when it came to the general species, they were told to bring two by twos. When it came to the kosher species, he was told to bring seven by seven, including the kosher birds.
What do you think, kosher?
No.
Well, it doesn't say all the kosher birds.
No, it's by the kosher birds. Yona is kosher. Yes, there is. I told you. The Yonah's good and the raven's bad. Life is simple. Okay? That's all. You don't need to know anything else. Okay, so look at the Orach Chaim in source number 4. V'yishlach et ha'orev, tzarech ladat lama shalcho. We have to understand why he sent it away. V'im l'rot ha'kalu ha'mayim ha'yelo lomer ha'katuv ha'kalu ha'mayim kamo sha'amar b'shlichot ha'yonah. If you're going to say the reason to send the Orev was the same reason the Yonah, to see if the water has dissipated, it should have said that. It doesn't say it. Which means if the two verses are different, don't try to explain one within the other verse. It should have said that. And by the way, I don't know if I have to tell you this, the Orach Chaim is absolutely correct on this point. Right? He's completely correct. Ve'im lo hutzrich lomar lama hutzrich lomar b'shlichut ha'yonah. And if it didn't have to say it, then why say it by the Yonah? Skip a little bit. Achen kavanata katuv hu alpi ma'amar rabotenu. So he's telling us, what is the pshat over here? The pshat is based upon the rabbis teach us. Now what the rabbis teach us, which you don't know yet, or maybe you do know, is incredibly fantastic and very difficult for us to understand. But he says, this has to be the pshat, because I see no other way of getting out of our quandary. And he says, ki ha'orev shimesh b'teva, that the orev was guilty of a crime on the boat, and therefore he had to chase it away. What did the orev do? The orev had relations on the boat. And because the orev had relations on the boat, what does Noach do? Off the boat, go, chased him away. That's what the Or HaChaim is telling us is the pshat. Anybody have a problem with that being the pshat? But by the way, how you teach, abstinence to all the animals anyway is probably somewhat of a challenge.
Was that the expectation?
Yeah. That according to Chazal, that's the expectation. So it says over here, what's he telling us is the pshat? Look, the verses aren't even. When he sends the Yonah, why does he send the Yonah? The Yonah is on a mission. What's the mission? To see. When he sends away the raven, why does he send it away? To get rid of it. I don't want you anymore. Off my boat. Go away. You've caused enough trouble. And it won't go. So could it even listen to him? Did it want to listen to him? Yeah. So this goes to what I told you I wasn't going to speak about, and the various issues of the months, and there is a lot to speak about with that. Yes.
My thought here is how dare he send out the raven? That means there won't be any more ravens.
Exactly. Exactly. But you're wrong. Exactly. But you're wrong.
No, but if he had the raven.
There you go. There you go. Which. We have to discuss the birds and the bees, I think. in order, correct. I mean, I had that same thought and that same thought process, and I said, hold it a second. If he gets rid of the raven, no more ravens. I said, hold it. If the problem is raven was intimate, but and by the way, the only one who I found who actually spelled that out for us, I don't know if we really needed a commentary to tell us this, but the only one who spelled it out, I said, was a commentary on the Gemara called the Ben Yohayada. So he says, why kick him out? Because he had relations. There won't be any more. No, of course there'll be more because they had relations and whatever.
But you also said that the raven might have been extra.
I didn't say that. The Nitziv said that.
Okay, so if it was extra, then anyway.
Correct. He goes through all that. He tries to work that through.
I don't know what it said, but the birds
were closer. Okay, hold on.
No,
no, but there weren't seven ravens. Ravens aren't kosher.
Yeah, but it doesn't say they're kosher ones.
No, it says taharot of the pure ones. But of the pure ones. And he continues to take your orv teva v'yada noach b'zelafisha patach halon hateva garash orv teva teka v'umiyad v'hu amru v'yishlachat ha'orev v'lo iskir l'ro'o takalo mayim k'mo she'amar achakach v'shlichut ha'yona v'hu ha'orev hu yotze v'shuv pirish noach migarsho v'hu chuzer v'nishar b'derech ze ad yivo shel ha'mayim. Noach sends him away and he doesn't want to go. He wants to stay there. And okay. Said like a good mother. and then the Ora. He didn't. And then the Ora Chaim deals with what the Gemara says. And I'll just read like one or two lines from this, and then we'll go to the Gemara. Upirish divri ma'amar hu al zed derech ya'orev ba b'ta'ana al derech ma'amar ha'navi. He really has a complaint. And we'll skip a little bit. Vatahu sefet l'sina, shima yapoge nimtza ulam. Right, you're not going to have any orevs anymore. V'reta min aheg ba'achzariyut. Which means the orev is claiming that Noach is acting with cruelty towards the Orevs of the world. Let's look at the Gemara and see. Excuse me. Let's look. Yes, yes. Let's look. What? Because the Oribs are black. Let's look at source number six. Let's look at source number six. Here's the Gemara. Vayishlach et ha'orev, and he sent the orev away. Omer Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said, Tshuva nitzachat hishivu orev lenoach. What does that mean? Tshuva nitzachat? From the word lenatzeach. What does lenatzeach mean? The English version translates, which you have on the next page, I think, translates it as triumphantly, successfully, which means, he says, Reish Lakish says, the Orev has a good answer towards Noach. Noach says, go, and what does the Orev say? By the way, all the comments, does the raven really talk? Does it not talk? Does it communicate? We're not even going to bother with all that. Amar lo, Rabcha, Sonani, your master hates me, Va'ata, Sna'atani, and you hate me. Rabcha sonani min ha-tahorim sheva min ha-tmeim shnayim. How do I know that your master, which is God, hates me? Because when it came to the pure birds, there were seven of them. When it came to my types of birds, we only saved two. Why is there discrimination against my kinds of birds? Why is there discrimination over here? And he goes, and you hate me, v'tasnotani, shatameniach mimin mimin shiva, v'shaloach mimin shnayim. If you wanted to send someone on a mission to check what's going on, what should have you used? You should have used one of the seven. You have extra ones of the seven. Worst comes to worst, something happens, you still have more. Something happens to me, the species is gone. So he says, God hates me, and you hate me. Everybody hates me. Do you feel bad for the raven or no? Yeah. Not yet. Im paga bisar chama usar tzina, lo nimtza ulam chaser, bria achat. If something happens, too hot, too cold, the world will be missing a species. I will become extinct. What kind of treatment is this? Va'od amarlo, and the second claim, and this is what's going to drive you crazy. And the second claim, he goes, maybe you've been eyeing my wife. Amarlo, Russia. Noach says back to the raven, you wicked bird, you. Bimutarli ne'esarli, b'nesarli lokoshke. He says that the whole time on the ark, I wasn't allowed to be intimate with my own wife, who normally I'm allowed. With your wife, I'm going to go with. Like, what are you talking about? By the way, but it's interesting. What does Reish Lakish say? He's got a good argument. Presumably, Reish Lakish is talking about the first half of the argument instead of the second half of the argument. But the Gemara does continue to say later on, Tanu Rabbanan, the bottom line there, Shloshashim Shubit Teva, there were three different, I don't want to say people, but three different species that had relations on the boat. And who were they? Ukulam Lak, when they all got punished. Kelev, V'orev, V'cham. Who were the three? A dog, the raven, and Cham. Why is that funny? Because Cham is Noach's son. By the way, I can tell you about commentary say that where did Cham get the idea from? Because he sees the Orev and he sees the Orev. Everybody he goes, hold it! What a great idea this is, and so on. But suddenly, and I'm going to leave the dog out of it for now. But suddenly, we have an analogy between the Orev and between Cham. Can you think of it? So with Cham as well, we have this issue of Cham later on being cursed, and who's Cham's son?
None.
Okay, and who is their descendant? The descendant is Cush. Just 1 second. In source 21, v'yiketz Noach mi'enov v'yida et hasha'aso lo b'no hakatan V'yom arur knan evid avadim yeh le'echav. Because Ham did something to him. He, 21. Because Knan did something to him, he curses out. Ham did something to him, he curses out Knan. And then, where did I put the genealogy?
In
22, the Cush yelad at Nimrod who acheliot gibor ba'aretz, and Cush is the one who comes from Canaan, and so on. So, part of, and by the way, let's realize another thing. Rav Hirsch points out, and he has a whole very interesting comment about the three sons of Noach, but it's especially interesting of him coming from Germany at the point of time that he lived, and he goes very much into an analysis of the genealogy in terms of different traits. And Ham, he identifies as somebody who's very hot-blooded, and that's why he's called Ham. And therefore Ham needed immediate gratification, and therefore Ham was somebody who, according to the Gemara, is not able to practice abstinence, and he's somebody who does have relations, and it has to be with being almost animalistic and being hot-blooded. So as I said, it's interesting to see that there may be some kind of an analogy over here being drawn between the Orev and between Cham, but as I said, those of us who are perhaps a little sensitive, and maybe some of you are bothered by this, maybe some of you are not bothered by this, it also sounds to be that there may as well be an issue in terms of pigmentation. And that, or pigment, and that's something which, as I said, you know, is certainly not politically correct, but it's something that we do need to understand what is going on. Yes? Oh, no, I answered that already. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wait.
I never thought of this in my life. I'm being very honest.
It's okay. That's why you came to learn.
Exactly. But it's
so obscure. Okay, let's go on. It's okay. Obscure is good. Yes.
Deliberately supposed to be reminding us that God is in, where you have relations before the time.
I think so.
Being sent out,
I think so.
You have something happening to your skin.
I think so.
Is there a relationship between Kham and Kamas?
No.
not that Hamas. The reason.
No, I don't think so. I don't think.
I know,
but I don't think the words are related. Could be. I don't think they are. Number seven. V'hi miketz ar b'miyom yiftach Noach. The Omer of Abba Bar Kahana, where it's underlined in the beginning. Chalon, okay. Chalon v'yishlach et orev hu dechtiv shalach chushech v'yachshich v'yatsa yatsa v'shov, which is interesting because he makes an analogy between the orev and darkness, right? So you see clearly that theme over here. And over here, where it continues to be underlined, you have a great statement here. Amrlei, this is the name of Rav Yehuda ben Simon, he goes, Amrlei, Noach says to the Orev, Ma tzorech la'olam b'cha. He goes, the world doesn't even need you. Lo la'achila, lo la'korban. You have no purpose. Can't use you to eat you. Can't use you to sacrifice you. We don't need you. How do you like that answer back to the Orev? What's going to be? I'll be extinct. So what does Noach say? Yeah. And what's the point? And you thought Noach was like this great Dr. Doolittle animal lover, right? What's the matter, Elaine? You look troubled.
Well, because something... It was only after Noach that we were allowed to eat animals anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So why, in other words, how does Noach know who he can and can't eat at this point?
You're making her point also. This is obscure.
Well, no, it just... Even going back to Charlotte's seven birds and their tarot, and does that mean that they're kosher birds and... We know that we can eat chicken, but we can't eat, you know.
Look, the distinction between the seven birds versus the seven animals versus two animals is a very interesting and very difficult distinction. I mean, so much so that if you ask your local Bible critics, they'll tell you, oh no, these are two different stories, two different versions of the same story. One version is that he saved two animals, and one version is that he saved seven animals per, and it has nothing, these stories have nothing to do with one another. Two different stories. A matter of fact, they'll continue on. They'll claim that the names of God regarding these two sections are different names of God. Look at source number 17. Ignore the first paragraph. And from the beginning of the parsha, Ela told Noach, et Elokim hetalech Noach. Next, lefnei Elokim, vayar Elokim et haaretz, and then vayomer Elokim leNoach. And then this whole thing, two by twos, comes by Elokim, vayas Noach kol asher tziva oto Elokim kein asa. And that ends that section. Do you see that? This whole section is what our Bible critics would call an E section. Why is it an E section? Because it's Elokim is being used throughout the section. Right afterwards, we start with our so-called J section. Right? Source 18. Vayom Hashem lenoach, ba'ata v'chobitcha elateva, ki otar iti tzadik lefnai b'dor hazeh. Normally I put hey, but I wanted you to see yud, hey, vav, hey, but I didn't want to spell it out. So, and then it ends up, vayas noach kol asher tzivau Hashem. Right? Yud, hey, vav, hey. So here you have a quote-unquote J section. But by the way, this is very interesting because, I mean, I don't know about the rest of you, but I don't necessarily accept the documentary hypothesis that there are two different authors of the book, which means we have two different commands that Noach receives. One is al pi midat hadin. What's midat hadin telling us? Judgment. What does judgment say? There will be survival, but how much will be saved? The bare minimum, two species. And then we have this other aspect, this quote-unquote J aspect, which is telling us that no, it's not just the bare minimum. Yud, hey, vav, hey, or they spell in English with the J.
Okay.
And this other side is saying, no, there'll be more than the bare minimum. And now we know Chazal, what happens afterwards? What does Noah... See, Noah does a couple of things he's not commanded to do. One thing he did which he wasn't commanded to do was to send out two different birds. Of course, one of the birds comes from the E section, one comes from the J section. You now realize, at least according to the way Chazal is spelling it out for us, one is of the two by twos, and he gets very upset. And one, there's extra, because there's seven of them, so therefore we don't have any kind of complaints over there. What is the other thing that Noach does that he was not asked to do, that God did not command him to do? That's true, but there's something else that he does which he's not commanded to do, because that could be for himself. There's something else that he does. He builds a Mizbeach. And he offers offerings. And it says that it's the Reach Nichoach, that God sees this as a very pleasant thing. Now, the offerings that he brings, where would he bring offerings from? That would be great. Save the species and then put and then barbecue them. Right? So that whole section Look at source 19 now. Vayedaber Elokim el Noach, God, din, judgment, says to Noach, get off the boat. Seimen ateva, atavi ishtecha v'necho, neshev v'necho v'itcha. Kol achayashet, right? Get them all off the boat. And then what does it say? Noach gets off. And then, vayiven Noach mizbeach laHashem. Where does he build the mizbeach for? Yud kei vav kei. By the way, I'll tell you a secret. Throughout Chumash, every time a korban is mentioned, the name of God mentioned is Yudke Vavke. You don't bring korbanot to Elokim. You don't bribe a judge. Who do you bring korbanot to? To Yudke Vavke. Because it's a question of compassion. Right? All through Sefer Vayikra, so much so that all through Sefer Vayikra, but any time korbanot, including over here, and it's such a clear distinction that when it comes to the world of korbanot, here, this will be a quote-unquote J section, which means, do I think the distinction is significant? Of course it's significant, I just don't think there's two different authors. And the opposite is true. I think by claiming there's two different authors, you miss the theological import of what's being taught over here. Which means there's a very clear distinction. One, let's save the bare minimum of humanity and of all the species, two by two. That's din. On the other hand, reaching out to God and the need to reach out to God afterwards, and maybe even according to this, Noach is thinking, why do I need all these others? And I have all these there must be another purpose for this, and therefore Noach builds his Mizbeach and offers offering to God to try to heal the relationship. And again, it's all the more interesting now that who was told, what are we told? Vayizkor Elokim et Noach. Elokim, midat hadin, judgment. Evil is gone, now we can continue on. But of course the reality is that the quote-unquote E and the quote-unquote J are woven together in a far more complex fashion than our documentary hypothesis feel comfortable with, and then what they're forced to do is to say that the editor was very active and had to do a lot of editing work in order to make this work. And I don't want to go into that more than necessary, but just for an example, look at source 21, because I just threw something out without defending it. Let me show you source 21. Here's when Noah wakes up. What does he say? V'yikatz Noach mi'eno v'yidat ha'shar salo b'no ha'katon v'yoma arur k'nan eved avadim y'alechav v'yoma baruch Hashem yudke vavke elokei shem v'yiknan eved lamo yaft elokim li'yafet. This is part of one poem. This is part of one statement. This is one breath that he's saying, and the two names are right there together within the two. And as I said, this is the kind of thing that the documentary hypothesis has great difficulty with, so they ignore it.
You were mentioning the difference. When they got out, he also told them to get out was his wife, and he got out was his son. So also there's another difference.
Correct. The R. Yes. Good, real good question. So why the end of Parshat Bereshit, Vayar Hashem ki rabba ra'ata Adam, Vayomer Hashem imcha et Adam, Noach matachein b'nei Hashem. Why is Yud Kei Vav used over here? So let me remind you of a couple of things. One, source 28. Source 28 is Rashi on the first pasuk in the Torah. Bereshit bara Elokim. Elokim. What does Rashi say? V'lo amar bara Hashem. Shebitchila ala b'machshava levrotu b'midat hadin. The world was supposed to be based upon judgment, but there's a problem with that. V'rasha ain't olam itkayim, but God knew the world can't exist that way on pure judgment. Hikdim midat rachma v'shitfar l'midat din haynu duchtiv b'yom asot Hashem Elokim eretz v'shamayim. That means original plan is judgment. The world can't last that way, so God now puts this rachamim element with inside. Now, if you continue to Rashi on the verses that bother you, that would be source 26, El Libo, that God's heart, it's Yud Kei Vav Kei El Libo, Shel Makom of God, Allah b'machshavato shemakom lahatzivo. Zera talking unklus. Davar achv yinachem nevcha machshavato shemakom mimidat rachamim lamidat hadin. Which means, the starting point was judgment. God says the world can't exist this way because if there's pure judgment, the world will disappear. So what does God do? He pushes the button and goes into rachamim mode. So now we're in rachamim mode, and what happens when there's rachamim mode? There's more and there's more and there's more evil. So now what does God have to do? Push the button and switch back, so therefore, and that's exactly what Rashi is dealing with. What?
Correct.
So God is saying, I've been too nice. I've looked the other way, you know, 1, 2, 5, 20, and look at society now. Society now is falling apart. Society has become corrupt.
What's the matter?
No more Mr. Nice Guy. Society is becoming corrupt, and therefore, what now needs to be done, we have to shut down the Midat HaRachamim, and we need to go into Midat HaDin. So it goes into Midat HaDin. What now happens? 2 by 2, just save the bare minimum. But then God comes back and says, listen, take another 7 as well. And that takes us through the flood story. Vayizkor Elokim, why Vayizkor Elokim, that God remembers? Now what happens? Now it's judgment. What happens afterwards? Afterwards, it switches. Now, by the way, Noach apparently completely identifies with both aspects in this ability of conjuring both up in terms of what he says to his children. My question, though, is how well Noach deals with both aspects? Because if I were to think about Midat HaRachamim, the Yonah becomes a very good representation, being white and having one more element to it. What's that? The name Yonah, the spelling. You have Yud and Hey and Vav embedded in the name of that bird right there, which means it's not just that it's a white bird. And by the way, I don't know what a dove is. I don't know what a yona is. I don't know if they always have to be white. It's very convenient for me to say it this way, because that way I could. I'm saying it's very easy to say it that way, but as I said, it's very easy to say it that way. But what there is about the yona, this symbol of peace, with the olive branch and so on, is that there is this compassion about it. Again, in terms of a symbol. I know that, but that's why it's utilized for that particular purpose, in order to establish that symbol. Which means, say, hold it, why didn't he use an orangutan to have, you know, the olive branch in its mouth? Well, that just doesn't work as well. And by the way, there is another element. The other element, the Alshith, spells out, which he sees as a subtext. What did the Orev say? The Orev said to Yonah in what we saw in the Gemara, you know, you were just checking out my wife, and that's why it won't go away, according to Reish Lakish. Sorry. He says to Noach, the raven says to Noach, that you were just checking out my wife. The Alshich mentioned something which perhaps we recall about a yona, that it's monogamous, which means the yona doesn't have any issues about flying away because it completely trusts its spouse. And the yona then becomes a symbol for purity, a symbol of the relationship between God and the Jewish people, a symbol for everything which is good and pure and wholesome. Just in order to see this spelt out a little bit, the Zohar in source, I just want to go through a couple of sources just to show this clearly. The Zohar in source number 8 says, Om Rav Chiya lo mashalacha to orev, the Om Rav Chiya mitztar hava noach tfei al uvda da alma, Om Rabbono Shalom yadati ki ata rachum vata lo rechamta al olamecha, v'nach rachmanotecha la achzariyut. Ata lo rechamta al banechi, yatsa zeh she'inim orachim al banav, v'nafach lehem la achzari. V'lefichach shalach et orev. Ramaz hu de karamaz. That Noach says, God, you're supposed to be compassionate. Which, by the way, why does he think God's supposed to be compassionate? Because that's what God said. Because that's what Rashi said from the very beginning of the Chumash. God is supposed to be compassionate. What happens now at the end of Parsha Bereishit? God shuts down the compassion. And Noach says, what happened? What happened to all of the compassion? And he sends the Orev, which is a symbol of cruelty. And Rashi tells us, and the Zohar tells us here, because the Orev is cruel to its young. And he sends out the Orev to give a message to God, this is what you are. You've become cruel in the way that you're treating people. That's why I'm sending out the Orev. Now, I don't want to get into this whole argument, but I do find it interesting that that's what the Zohar is identifying as the symbol of what the Orev symbolizes. If you look at the Alshich in source 11, uvizeh, where it's underlined, uvizeh evshar ki hayona habilti mamira bat zuga kinodar rabotenu batach ba lev ba'ala, that the yona does not trade in its spouse, the yona is monogamous, and that stands in absolute distinction or to the orev. If you continue in source 12, which is still the Alshech, v'derech remez ateva remez al olam va'orev mashal el nefashot ha'chata'im ha'tme'im b'maseim ha'ma'od, the orev symbolizes sinful people. If you look at Rav Tzadok in source 13, it says, "V'shar mekamod yona kari devar barur l'tahara va'orev l'tum'ah." The orev, that again, and I think this goes back to the colors or the perception of the colors, that the yona represents good and white and pure, and the orev represents bad and tum'ah and so on. So again, I can find you many, many more sources that try to make this distinction, which therefore becomes interesting to what it is that he tries to do. Source 14, V'ulam heina kfar katavnu, this is the Ber Mayim Chaim, Asher ha'orev lo nishlach klal b'shlichut ki'im shalcho min ha'teva, the yona was sent on a mission, the orev was just sent, why? Shlo ye'imo, because Noach didn't want him there, avur shira'a oto bira, because he saw that it was bad, otiot arev, bira are the same letters as orev. Again, the commentaries are working very hard for us to get rid of the orev. The orev is bad. We don't like the orev. And there are, but as I said, this becomes very interesting. So, yes.
Also, the spelling, not just the
Very good, very good. That's what I wanted to get to. That's what I wanted to get to in terms of the name. So you see this as a catalyst for bad.
Get it out.
Okay, good.
Doesn't the
I'm gonna get there. I'm gonna get there in a second.
Doesn't the Orev do tshuva though in the rest of the book?
Okay, good. Excellent. So let's take a look then, because the various sources that I've read till now, I've ignored in almost every one of them the second part. Noah has a hard time with the Orev, wants to get rid of him. Nonetheless, we're told in all of these sources, from the Zohar, the Medrash, and so on, that God says, listen, the Orev, you said the Orev has no purpose. Remember that source? What do I need you for? And God says, I have a purpose for the Orev. And the purpose which it discusses is the story of the Orev together with Eliyahu HaNavi. Take a look in source 7. No, I don't want 7. I wanted 9. Vayomer Eliyahu HaTishbi mitoshvei Gilad el Achav Chai Hashem Elokei Yisrael Shamarati lefanav im yashanim ela talumatar ki im lefi dvari. So over here you're correct. It's calling it as an opposite or an inverse of the flood story. Over here Eliyahu gets up and says there won't be any rain. Okay, Yonah, excuse me. The story of Noah is a story of rain, and then the Orev at the end to see if it's dry, or for whatever reason he sends it. Over here it starts off, there will be no rain whatsoever. V'yihi dvar Hashem elav lemor, lech mizeh, and so on. Pasuk hey, v'yelech v'yaskeh dvar Hashem, v'yelech v'yashev v'nachal kirit asher al p'nei yodein, v'ha'orvim mivim lo lechem u'basar b'boker, v'lechem u'basar b'erev. Ba'arev u'min ha'nachal yishteh v'yimiketz yamim v'yivash ha'nachal ki lo ha'yageshem ba'aretz. So over here you have a complete inverse of the story. No water, rain, no rain, the river's drying up, but you do have the Orev taking care of the prophet, which means this causes us to question again, is the Orev all bad? Now, despite the fact that I worked very hard to show you how bad the Orev is, this is what God's answer is. God's answer is, I have a plan for the Orev. The Orev is not what you think. But I do want to go back. If I claim that the Yonah, which is good and white and pure, tahor, and so on, and even has a couple of the letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei within its name, the Orev, as you pointed out, it's not called the Shachor. You know, it's called the Orev. And the Orev indicates that there's a mixture. By the way, I will point out, not that I understand such things, that when it comes to black is not really a color. Black is not a primary color. What is black? It's an absence of pigmentation or pigment, and the black itself is not what you think it is, or not necessarily as you perceive it, which means Noah has a certain perception of the Orev, but what is the Orev in terms of its essence, in terms of its mahut, in terms of essence, what is it? There is some kind of a mixture taking place. Now, if you wanted to go back to the Garden of Eden, that's basically what happens in terms of sin, is that you eat from the Eitz Hadaat Tov V'ra, what do you now have? A combination of Tov V'ra. Again, it's very good to say the world is black and white, that there's good and there's evil, but what instead do we have? We have something which is the Orev, which doesn't represent evil as much as its Tum'ah, because it's a combination. And the word Orev, again, means something which is combined together. If you want to see somebody who begins to articulate this, let's take a look at source 16, which is the Noam Elimelech. V'zeo d'matzinu b'Eliyahu Hanavi v'yoshef v'nachal karit v'orvim v'yim l'lechem l'cha'or l'ma b'char Hashem b'orvim shehem achzarim al b'neim shehem yaviyu l'lechem v'al pi d'vareinu anal kach pirusho v'yoshef v'nachal shehem amshich hashpa'ot minachal elyon, and so on. He gets a little Kabbalistic. V'darkei ha'orvim heim haklipot לטרוף טרף השפעות אלה העובד השם מאהבה, גם הם ישלימו ויסכימו עמו לבלתי יגעו בהשפעה. So again, he starts off by saying is that there is a certain element of what's called klipot, negativity. But then, when he wants to spell it out, go down to the second paragraph, where it's underlined, V'chein ha-rasha ha-mored neged melech ma'achem lachim ha-kodesh baruch hu, hu ma'arev ra b'tov v'tov b'ra, v'hu nikra dim'a, miloshon iruv, k'mo sha'amru ha-metameh v'ha-midama. V'kudesh lo yu pagam b'midot ha-yonot, marido tana d'ma'ot, and he's quoting, he's explaining Gemara that I'm not going into. Yerei l'nafsho, pen, where it's underlined a little further, ulai yechtu od b'nei ha'adam v'yaravu ra b'tov v'tov b'ra v'yepakam b'midot yelinim chalila ashal kin bikesh rachamim al zeh u'pa'al zot v'yishlach et ha'orev klomar zeh ha'dema v'ha'ibuv ra b'tov v'yatza yatzo v'shuv klomar latzeit mividat ha'elyonot u'midot ha'tachtonot shein b'vchinat yatzo v'shuv. If you did not understand any of this, it's fine, because I don't have time to explain it properly, but what I will say that he's identifying is the orev as an irbuvia, as a combination of good and bad, not absolute bad, but of good and bad. And as good and bad, it has this capacity of creating confusion. Dem'a can also have a connotation of confusion. But nonetheless, it sounds to us that Noach's orientation to this is exclusion and to send away. You said before this reminds you of the book of Yonah. So of course the book of Yonah becomes quite interesting, but I want to show you exactly why it's as interesting as it is. Let this just give me 2 minutes, else we won't get to where we want to get to. One is, if I follow the lineage that we noticed before, in source 22, the Cush yalad et Nimrod, so Cush, which comes from Canaan, which comes from Ham, Cush, which sounds to be the outgrowth of this Orev type relationship or orientation, eventually gives us Nimrod. Now, by the way, Nimrod is not a great hero in rabbinic literature, at least not in a positive sense. Huya gibor tzayid lefnei Hashem, al kein yamar ki Nimrod, gibor tzayid lefnei Hashem. V'ki reshit mamlechto bavil, and so on. Min ha'aretz yatsa ashur v'yiven et ninve, et rechavot ir v'et kalach, v'et resen ben ninve u'ben kalach, hi ha'ir ha'gdola. Now, even that phrase should remind you of something. Namely, you're right. Right, the Ir Hagdola. We take a look at the next source, 23. Vayhi dvar Hashem el Yona ben Amitai lemor, kum leich el Ninveh ha'ir hagdola, ukra aleh ki alta ra'atam lefanai. And he completely runs away. Vayokum Yona levruch tarshishim lefnei Hashem. And he runs away from the Yud Kei Vav Kei. He runs away from the compassion. He runs away from God's wanting to forgive these people that perhaps Yonah doesn't feel should be forgiven, which is very interesting. Which means, if the Yonah represents the part of Noach, which is identifying with the Elohim and with the Din and with judgment and so on, and the Orev represents this combination of good and evil, the Yonah over here has a great deal of difficulty dealing with the children of Ham, who's associated with the Orev, who are now being told to be saved by the Yonah. Which means he sees the world much more as a black and white world and is not willing to accept the forgiveness of a world which is more complex, which is a world which is mu'urav. In what way is it mu'urav? It's a combination. Which means if you want to take the issue of color right now and go back, the Orev is not black, but what is the Orev? It's a lack of color, but leave the colors out of it right now. It has a perception of black. Right? And the Yonah may have a perception of white even though it's not white. You have this perception of a black and white world. You have Noach sending away the Orev, but the Yonah is Me'ito and it's on a mission for him. There's a closeness with this, which means the Yonah therefore becomes the extension of Noach. Now Noach is okay with a black and white world. He's a tzaddik, he is saved, wicked is destroyed. That's the black and white world. When we go now to the book of Yonah, where you have a city like Nineveh, which are not a city of tzaddikim, not at all. But and the perception of Yonah is that it's a city of evil. But it's black, it's evil. This comes from this terrible line. But what is it in reality? In reality, it's a mixture. And where there's a mixture, there's good and bad, and there's better and there's worse, and so on. Now, after saying all that, how interesting is it, the sign that God gives Noah at the very end of the story? The rainbow. The rainbow. It's not a question of a black and white world. It's a question of a whole spectrum of color, and there's all kinds of color together, and sometimes color gets confused and sometimes it merges, but that's the sign that is given to Noah at the very end, which means we have this perception of black and white, and that's a perception that God makes a covenant with us and saying that's not all that it is. I want to end up with a line of the Ramban, which maybe now will make a little bit of sense to us. Maybe it won't make any sense to us still. Ela b'Rosh Hashanah mityached b'midat hadin u'manhig 29, the last source. Ela b'Rosh Hashanah mityached b'midat hadin u'manhig olamo u'v'yom ha'kippurim b'midat harachamim. Rosh Hashanah, and by the way, what do we say in Rosh Hashanah? Vayizkor Elokim et Noach, which means Noach enters into the Rosh Hashanah davening. The book of Yonah enters into the Yom Kippur davening. So just keep that in mind as a background. What is Rosh Hashanah about? It's about Midat Adin, and what's Yom Kippur about? Midat Rachamim. V'hum Amram Melech Yeshev Akisei Din. Rosh Hashanah Yom Din B'Rachamim V'Yom Kippurim Yom Rachamim B'Din. Now, as I said, this may not make any sense to you whatsoever. What is Din B'Racham and what is Racham and B'Din? It seems to be that what happens on Rosh Hashanah, God judges us, and it's judgment. But what do we want? We want God to do that judgment. But there should be an element of compassion to it. Yom Kippur is very different. Yom Kippur is a day of compassion. It's a day when God sits in compassion and does the judgment, but from a vantage point of compassion, which means what is the ruling aspect of God? Is it Elohim or is it Rachamim, which means Yudke Vavke? Ultimately, we know there's not a contradiction. Ultimately, we know that God is both, and as you said before, a parent sometimes have to be both, and many of our relationships, we need to wear both of those hats. And it's not that there is this contradiction. There's a tension between the two of them. And if you've noticed now from the very beginning of all the sources we've seen today, there is a tension which aspect of God is being utilized. Is it Elohim? Is it Yud Kei Vav Kei? Will it therefore be 2x2? Will it therefore be 7x7? In terms of what is taking place. But the orientation of Noach very much seems to be this orientation of a black and white world. Evil is wiped out. Goodness is saved. The Yonah sounds to us as if it's an extension of that perception. God's response is, no, I need the Oriv still. The Oriv is going to come, it's going to help Eliyahu HaNavi. That's not a small thing. And then we see that whole reverse story taking place of where there's not a flood, where there's not any water. And here, what does the Oriv do? It doesn't bring dead bodies, quite the opposite. What the Oriv does here, it provides food for Eliyahu HaNavi in this time where there is no other food available. When we see then the other, so in a sense, that's the Orev going out of the Yonah story and being used in a very, very positive way, which means the Orev is a combination. When we look at the Yonah, who sees things in this black and white way as Noah does, and he gets to the city of Nineveh, which is the continuation of the Orev, but the alter ego of the Orev, namely of Cham, Knan, Cush, ending up in Nineveh, and he sees and says, no, the city, how can we save the city? He wants to completely run away from Yudke Vavke. And there's a lot more between the Yudke Vavke and Elohim in the book of Yonah, which I've ignored or haven't had time to deal with. But that's something which Yonah does not want to deal with whatsoever. And God's response basically is, you know, there is an erbuvia, there is a combination. There are different types of people there. But ultimately, when we looked at the conclusion of the story of Noah, that symbol that God shows us is now, I think, all the more significant for us. That is a symbol of the rainbow. It's not a black and white world. It's a world of many, 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 many colors, and appreciate that. And that's God's response, which means, in a very real extent, in a very real way, the rainbow is closer to the Orev than it is to the Yonah. And that's something that we need to understand. why he sent them out. Was he told to send them? He wasn't at all told to send them out. It seems to be that Yonah has in his mind this black and white, Noah has in his mind this black and white perception, and God seems to think that the world really has many, many colors.